Leveraging the Human Brain's Hunger for Story by Doug Riegenthaler, Jr. When you sleep, do you dream of dragons or dolphins? Of mortgage anxieties or brownie recipes? When you were choosing a college elective, were you more likely to pick the rise and fall of the Roman Empire or statistical anomalies in market forecasting models? When you are watching a film about a man-eating shark, are you more apt to pay attention when the boat is gently chugging across the harbor or rapidly sinking? If your answers suggest that our minds tend toward darker subjects, you are correct. You'd also be touching on one of the principal reasons we love a good story: the conflicts that inevitably lie within. But more on that in a moment. Studies do indeed confirm that our dreams are far more likely to be filled with conflict and difficulty than their sunnier opposites. In fact, day or night, our minds quite naturally gravitate toward life's challenges. Even when life is good, when there is money in the bank, a happy mate at our side, food in the belly, our minds usually are rueing what was or worrying about what is to come. The human brain runs on conflict, writes neuroscientist David Eagleman. When someone offers you chocolate cake, you are presented with a dilemma. Some parts of your brain have evolved to crave sugar, while others care about potential consequences, such as a bulging belly. Only in humans does the mind find itself in an incessant conflict over even the most innocuous of activities. Across cultures, empires, eras, and geographies, the stories of human existence are always rife with conflict. And when they're not, they're soon forgotten. Whether we're talking about Homer and Shakespeare or Lucas and Spielberg, we humans love our stories of heroes in conflict. But why? The brain's addiction to story. If you want to understand humankind's addiction to story, look no farther than the mind itself. Paul Zak and his team at the Center for Neuroeconomic Studies have demonstrated that when it comes to brain chemistry, it is only stories steeped in conflict that truly grab our attention. Our brain's neurochemical response to story offers a powerful lesson to marketers looking for a way to reach audiences. When conflict arises, in story and in real life, the brain releases the stress hormone cortisol, which helps the mind focus intensely on the source of that stress. Cortisol is old brain, fight or flight stuff. Think of a hiker stumbling upon a mother bear and her cubs. The brain gets a blast of cortisol that helps us zero in on the danger. Conflict also results in the release of oxytocin, a chemical that generates strong feelings of caring, connection, and empathy. The greater the volume of oxytocin, the more apt we are to relate to the story's conflicted hero. Taken together, then, cortisol and oxytocin create a potent neurochemical cocktail that not only focuses our attention on the plight of the story's protagonist, caught up in conflict, but also creates a powerful empathetic connection with that individual. In Jaws, for example, the aquaphobic Chief Brody isn't alone on that sinking boat as a killer shark moves in. We, the audience, are out there with him, anxiously scanning the screen for any signs of the shark, desperate for Brody, slash us, to survive. In essence, we become one and the same with the story's protagonist, or, in storytelling lexicon, its hero. In a series of groundbreaking studies, Princeton neuroscientists used fMRI machines to monitor the brains of storytellers and their audiences, and discovered that in the midst of a great story, all of those brains more or less mimic each other. The more engaging the story, the more the brains looked the same. When our Chief Brody gets his first real glimpse of the shark and announces to his fellow crewmates, "We're going to need a bigger boat," we are literally thinking the same thing. In fact, Princeton researchers found that in some instances of neural coupling, the audience actually races ahead in the story and arrives at the conclusion even before the storyteller takes them there, which might help explain the many instances when a reader or moviegoer is thinking, "What the heck is wrong with these people? Why don't they see what is happening?" What all of this mental chemistry means, says Zak, is that story effectively alters our perceptions because it quite literally alters our brains. And as I noted in a previous post, really good stories do this even when we are guarding against it. Writes Jonathan Gottschall in his marvelous book, The Storytelling Animal, the human mind yields helplessly to the suction of story. No matter how hard we concentrate, no matter how deep we dig in our heels, we just can't resist the gravity of alternate worlds. So if the mind is a junkie for conflict-ridden stories, how do marketers create the good stuff, the stories that will hook their prospects and customers? Story as mind melder. Over the years, the likes of Joseph Campbell and a raft of neuroscientists, psychologists, anthropologists, and other scientists have discovered that the most effective stories follow a kind of linguistic trajectory. George Lucas borrowed from Campbell's monomyth architecture, for example, to create the massively popular Star Wars film series. But it was the 19th century German novelist, Gustav Freytag, who first tried to codify the storytelling process, which he labeled the dramatic arc. According to Freytag, there are 5 key components to this arc. Exposition, the story's situation, setting, and characters. Rising action, the conflict makes itself known and our hero engages it. Climax, the turning point in the story where, for good or bad, an end to the conflict can be seen. Falling action, resolution of the conflict, perhaps with one final period of drama before it is completed. And denouement, the story closes out with a sense of completion, even relief or peace. Without this narrative path, says Zach, your audience is likely to tune out. By way of example, he uses the story of Ben, a fictitious 2-year-old boy dying of cancer. The story revolves around the attempts of Ben's dad to fully engage with his joyfully alive son, all the while knowing the boy soon will die. In a sense, it is a story of every man, since, ostensibly, each of us faces the ultimate biological clock and is keenly aware of his or her mortality. In Zach's laboratory setting, the brains of audience members exposed to this story, not surprisingly, release plenty of cortisol and oxytocin, indicating both that they were intently focused on the story and relating to the conflict within Ben's dad. A control group, exposed to a different version of the story, one in which a healthy Ben and his dad simply spend a day at the zoo, generated no chemical response, and very quickly the audience tuned out. So what does all this mean to corporate marketers? To me, it's rather simple. If we humans are hardwired for stories with conflict, if our brains instinctively focus on stories and form empathetic connections to those engaged in internal or external conflict, then it behooves marketers to borrow from Freytag's dramatic arc to create stories that have, as their centerpiece, a conflict their brand can solve. PepsiCo's director of market insights, Brett Townsend, goes so far as to urge marketers to think like Hollywood scriptwriters. Conflict, he says, is indeed the fuel to a good story, so use it and see if your customers and prospects don't respond.